Welcome to Rider Club Radio, the podcast all about Kamen Rider. I'm your host, Jeff.
And I'm Liam.
And today we're going to be talking about Kamen Rider Drive, episode number 23.
We're almost halfway through the whole series now.
Besides the movie.
Oh.
We're going to get another movie.
Oh, yeah. Next week. I always forget.
Why don't you tell us a little bit about what happened in today's episode?
Let me bring up my episode summary that I wrote down. On episode,
this is totally not scripted. We make this up as we go along.
100% natural. On episode 23 of Drive, we find out that Kiriko has dragged Chase into a hospital and is now taking care of him with the help of, secretly, mind you, with the help of Mad Doctor. And she's keeping this from everybody for, I guess, good reasons. Because she doesn't want anybody knowing that she's helping her robot husbando. Kiriko and that fucking robot. We'll talk about this later. Also, as the main plot of the episode, the main, like, episodic plot, is there's a bunch of bombings going on all over Tokyo, and nobody knows how they're happening because the police keep sweeping the place, but the bomb goes off anyways. So Drive and Mach investigate, and they get their shit beat up by a Roidmu, but after that they apprehend a guy taking a photo. And this is a part I kind of like. They reference back to that episode with the photography monster. Remember that one?
Yeah, there's good continuity going on, for a change.
Yeah, they anticipate what the audience is thinking when you see a guy taking a picture on his phone of the bomb site. And you, as the audience, you remember that episode with the photography monster, and you think, oh, maybe it's something like that again. And Drive says the same thing. So I thought that was pretty cool.
Yeah, it's something like that again, but it's not that again at all. It has nothing to do with it whatsoever. But it's nice that they talk about it.
Well, it's another clever little bit, because it's like, oh, you think it's that, but we thought of that. We're addressing that right now. It's not that. But,
let's actually talk about the guy taking photos for a second. This is like skipping ahead of the Kiriko and Chaser plot for a minute. But the guy taking photos is so heavily, like, hinted at being the Roidmu that I was sort of taken by surprise that he wasn't.
I think that was what they were going for. Like, making him really, really suspicious. Even when he's kidnapped and he's in the police station, he's acting all cocky, like, oh, I didn't do it. You think I did it? Ooh. You guys are dumb.
Which is absolutely what the guy who does it does. But the thing about it is, him not being the Roidmu means that there's not really a mystery anymore.
Well,
because the Roidmu is no one.
What, you think? Well, hang on. Let me finish the plot thingy, and then I'm going to tell you why I don't think you're right about anything when you open your mouth. So, the It turns out that they do some shit, they catch the Roidmute, and it turns out that the bombings are done because there's a Roidmute that can shoot shit so fast that you can't even see it. It's like, which, how fast would that even have to be? That'd be at least the speed of sound, right? I don't know.
It would have to be faster than speed of sound.
Faster.
I'm a scientist.
Yeah. That's what I went to university for, learning history, to learn how fast shit goes. So he shoots the
bombs
faster than anybody.
You're just dropping hints like it's a fucking mystery who you are.
Well, it's a Kamen Rider Drive podcast, so I figure I should just fuck me, okay? He shoots the bombs faster than anybody can see. Faster than anybody can see, and they hit the bomb spot, and that's how he does it. So Tomari uses type formula, and he clocks up, and he runs and catches four bombs individually, and foils the Roidmude plot, but the Roidmude shoots a needle at Mach's belt and breaks it, and Mach is like, he doesn't tell anybody yet, I don't think, but he's really pissed off, you can tell, and then at the very end of the episode, in the hospital with Kiriko and Chase there, Chase wakes up, so he's back in the story.
Awesome.
So that's what happened today. Jeff, what did you think of Kamen Rider Drive episode 23?
I actually like this episode. I know we bitched about the last episode being, like, poor.
And so this is going to be a short
podcast. Disagreed
then.
With that, but I don't care. But this episode actually bounced back into the sort of episodic formula where, like, something interesting happens every episode, and they, like, give you little droplets of story as it goes along.
I really didn't like the way they did that early on, but it's more than droplets now. It used to be, like, little tiny bits. Like, they would talk, it would be completely episodic, and then at the end, Brain would mention a promise number, and that would be it early on. And that's what really made me want to drop Drive.
That's not even droplets, that's like the mist on the breeze.
It's a spritz of plot. But that was what really made me want to drop Drive. But now it's like an episodic plot, and shit is happening that's going to have a lasting effect on the overall story. So I do like that a lot. It's getting better. They're getting better at it.
It's getting into a groove of episodic storytelling as well. Like you mentioned before that Black had episodic storytelling, but it was still interesting as it went along because of the way that they handled it. And a lot of Kamen Rider series are not.
Yeah.
They're literally the same thing over and over and over again. This isn't Kamen Rider related, but you and I watched Taiyo Sentai Sun Vulcan together, and that show becomes the same episode every episode.
You gave up on it at like episode 20. I stuck with it.
Could you have said that any more shittily? You gave up on it.
I'm the real Super Sentai fan, despite the fact that I've only seen 2 seasons in my life.
That's why we're not doing a Sentai moment, by the way.
Yeah, I guess we should make this clear. The reason we're not doing a Sentai second is because we don't know shit about Sentai. But then, we don't know shit about Rider.
Because he's an idiot.
What?
But anyway, let's go back to Kamen Rider Drive.
I'm gonna fucking see that in post. I'm gonna fucking see what you said. You can't escape forever. Anyways, back to Drive.
I'm gonna edit this one. Kamen Rider Drive has really gotten into an episodic formula that's good.
Mm.
And I'm really enjoying that. And I never thought I would say I enjoy an episodic formula, but here we are.
I think, like I said, episodic can be done well. Even Black, like I said, Black does episodic well. But it's not because it keeps a consistent overarching plot going. Like, for the fucking, like, 20 episodes in the middle of Black, there's no overall plot. It's just, like, every now and again they worry about fucking Nobuhiko, and that's the only overarching thing. Kamen Rider Black...
every 10 episodes, they're like, wonder what happened to my brother?
Yeah, they're like, aren't you worried about Nobuhiko? Yep. And then the episode's over, and it goes on to the next one. But, like, Black is good because it has this... weird, like, I don't know, I know I already rambled enough about Black, but I like its episodic formula because it has this weird horror vibe to it. That really set it apart for me, at least.
The master's thesis in Black is back, everyone.
the appending.
The appendix?
No, not the appendix.
That's a part inside of a body.
I'm failing. Fuck this. Look, I'm done talking about Black. I rambled enough about it last episode.
Alright, anyway, I talked about how I felt about Kamen Rider Drive, episode number 23. Why don't you tell us how you feel about it?
You've pretty much... I feel mostly the same way about it you did. I'm very glad things are starting to move forward again. I'm very glad we didn't have Chase getting recaptured and re-brainwashed or whatever, and I'm really, really thankful that Go's belt broke.
It's coming.
He's been having a very rough week, that Go. We'll talk about the movie later. Go has not been treated well by Toei recently.
They hate his actor or something. They just... It's ridiculous.
If they hated his actor, he wouldn't have any episodes. They'd be like, Go appears in suit. We don't need you on the set, buddy.
Let's talk about Go and what happened to him this episode. He is really mad that everybody's paying so much attention to Drive and not to him.
Mm-hmm. He's super fucking salty because he's like, I got the stronger belt, but not anymore.
My favorite part in the whole episode is when they're talking about giving Drive another upgrade, and he's like, oh, Drive gets another upgrade, huh? Like, he's the audience speaking straight to
him. Because Go is stuck at dead heat, and Drive's already past that.
Well, that's the lot of a secondary rider.
Mm-hmm. I guess you just stay in the dust. Same with Baron. He got to, like, tier 2, and Gaim got to, like, tier 5.
He skipped tier 2 all the way to tier 5, though.
Gaim was like tier 1.5 for a little bit. Gaim's upgrades were... I liked them. But we're not talking about Gaim right now.
We're not talking about Gaim. We're talking about Go. We're talking about Maha.
Maha. Yeah, he's had a shitty week, but his belt breaking, I'm pretty sure, isn't going to last long. It's not going to be busted for long.
Thanks to spoilers.
I guess I should bring this up. We've already... talked enough about our opinions about the episode, this is awful, awful fucking timing, because right after we finished recording the last podcast, I went into the thread, and not 1 minute after I went in, posted were pictures of Kamen Rider Chaser, leaked pictures, and I was like, so this is old news by now, but I just discovered it last time. Did you see those pictures, Jeff? What do you think?
Yeah, they're blurry as hell, but it looks kind of bad. I don't know.
It's not what I was expecting at all. It's very white.
Yeah, I wasn't expecting white. I thought he was going to be like a, like, you know how Proto Drive looked, like a black and silver style.
Yeah, like Kamen Rider. I was expecting like a sleeker version of his normal form, where he's like black and purple, and yeah.
Yeah, but he looks like a white Machine Chaser.
Well, we know he uses the Mach Driver to transform. He's got like another one or something. So I guess they gave him a suit similar to Mach's. For that.
I guess so.
But I don't know. I don't know. Anyways, the reason we brought this up is because in the video you see Mach, so that belt's coming back soon.
Yeah, and I'm excited about that because I like Mach. Mach is my favorite character on this show right now.
He is definitely the most interesting character. Him and Chaser seem to be getting the most focus in the plot. Like,
that's true. And there's sort of this weird rivalry between them that's like almost completely one-sided. Where Go hates Chaser's guts more than anything in this whole series, and Chaser doesn't even pay any attention to him.
Chaser does not care at all. But, like, the two... that's what one thing that's frustrating me about New Drive is the two main characters, Shinosuke and Kiriko, aren't really doing much anymore. I guess Kiriko's got something to do now that she's taking care of Chase, but, like, the story is revolving around Chase and Go. The interesting shit happens to them.
I've been saying this for a while now, and people have been kind of arguing me against it, but Shinosuke doesn't seem to do anything anymore. He just kind of shows up to the scene of a crime, someone else gives him the information he needs. He does his little, bad special effects screens of previous scenes floating around his head, and then he fights the monster and wins, and he hardly says anything in between.
Yeah, Shinosuke... He had some good scenes early on when the show overall was shitty, but now that the show's getting better, Shinosuke is kind of fallen to the wayside.
I don't know if I would say that the show overall was shitty to begin with, but it sure didn't make an impression.
I think I disliked it more than you. Maybe my expectations were too high, because I really liked the premise of Drive, but I don't know.
Yeah, it wasn't really delivering to begin with. I was having kind of a wizard experience with it, where I didn't really give a crap about anything that was happening.
About that phone guy, by the way. Uh-huh. He is obviously involved in some way.
Oh, yeah. Even if he wasn't involved in something in this episode, at the end of the episode, Brain picks up the viral core of... that Roid Mude, so he's coming back next episode. It's one of the two-parters where the monster runs away and comes back.
Yeah, one of the two-parters that make up the bulk of the series, and while the phone guy probably isn't the Roid Mude, in fact, he really obviously isn't the Roid Mude, he might be a Roid Mude, or maybe he's a spotter for the Roid Mude, or something.
He could be a host as well, the same way that Q was a host.
Like he's teaming up with him, yeah.
And actually the same way that the guy who took the photos that destroyed shit was a host.
Yeah, and the...
Maybe that was pointed out for a reason, so that you would see the deeper mystery.
Ooh, yeah, Shingo Tachibana was the same way. The policeman, the old retired policeman.
Oh, I remember Tachibana.
Yeah. So who knows? Anything's possible at this point. It's obvious that the phone guy's a villain, but details are fuzzy.
I love how even when somebody's not involved with the plot on this show, when they meet the police, they're like the biggest dickheads that have ever lived. Like, yeah, I didn't do anything, you stupid coppers. What are you gonna do about it?
This doesn't implicate me at all. I'll just fucking mouth off.
Why don't you put me in jail? You ain't got no evidence. Anyway, let's actually talk about Kiriko for a second.
Okay.
Didn't she used to be, like, part of the plot?
You know what? That seems like a distant memory now.
Yeah. She mostly just stands around in the background but during fight scenes.
She's doing something now. She's got Chaser. She's nursing Chaser back to health. She's got something. Yeah.
My whole question with that is, like, he was laying in bed with, like, little burn marks over him and stuff and little bloody spots. Mm. And all I could think the whole time is, isn't he a fucking robot?
He's... Look. Kai... I... Go fuck yourself, alright? I don't...
Good answer. Toei.
It's just how Kaijins are in Rider series. They always mimic the humans perfectly, and they bleed and spit and stuff, despite what they actually are. That's one of the things I kind of and weirded out by Kamen Rider as a whole is, like, every fucking monster, no matter what their background is, if they're aliens or demons or whatever, they can all mimic humans. It's weird.
Well, not being able to mimic humans means that they would have to spend money on keeping the suit up for the entire show.
I think they could keep it up for one monster of the week. I don't think that'd be trouble.
I don't know if you know this. You've watched a lot of Kamen Rider series. They will reuse monster suits from show to show. They'll repaint the monster suit and add some shit to it.
No way.
They do.
I haven't seen many series that are close together other than Gaiman Drive, so maybe that's why I haven't noticed that, but that seems fucking preposterous to me. I know they do that.
It was actually much more prevalent during the Showa era, and they've dropped off a lot since they started doing, like, Tyson movies.
Mm-hmm.
Ever since Decade, I guess, when they started doing, like, the big everybody shows up crossover movies. They can just reuse the suits flat out now. They don't need to paint them.
I know they cannibalize, like, rider suits to make movie suits or stuff, but I didn't know they straight up reused monster suits. I guess I'm not surprised.
It's not really super noticeable sometimes, because they really do go out of their way to make them look different.
Toei has made a fool of me.
And I mean, inside of series, it becomes real obvious that they've reused monster suits. The one that hops to mind immediately, and I just made a shitty pun, you'll see that in a second, is the two grasshopper monsters in Kamen Rider Kuga are the same suit painted in two different colors.
I haven't seen Kuga yet. It's on my list. Shit. It's next. After Kabuto.
You're watching Kabuto right now, aren't you? Actually, no, let's wait for a second. Maybe we need to talk about Drive.
We'll hold off.
Some more.
We've got too much shit to talk about today.
Let's talk about, not those leaked photos, we went over that. Let's talk about how that they're doing Legend Rider shift bikes.
Yeah, I was waiting for that.
That's awesome.
I think it's cool too, but the one thing I'm pissed off about is they put fucking Rider on in there, but no Battle Hopper?
Yeah, that was shit.
What were you thinking?
That was shit.
You had a golden opportunity, and they just passed it by. There is the Cyclone, so that's nice. They covered that.
Well,
but whenever they do,
it's sort of the Cyclone. I mean, all of them look different than what they are, but, like, they only did one bike, and it's called the Showa bike. It's not called the Cyclone.
Showa really gets the shaft when it comes to Legend Rider merchandise, don't they?
Yeah, they do.
Like, in Gaim, they designed lock seats for everybody, Showa and Heisei. But for all the Heisei riders, they actually designed arms. Like, they put out these little cards or drawings or whatever of what it would look like if the riders used the all the Heisei Rider lock seats.
I've never seen those.
Really? I'll show them to you afterwards. There's, like, so you see what happens. You see Kuga arms and Agito arms and Ryuki arms. And they even made designs for Wizard Infinity arms and fucking Forze Cosmic States arms.
That's awesome. Yeah, I've never seen any of this.
Well, I'll shoot you that gallery later, and I'll put it in the description for anybody else who hasn't seen it, because it's really cool. It looks awesome.
Are they all just, like, their heads? Like, Rider 1's head?
Yeah. No, it's not, like, it's not as dumb as Rider 1 arms, which really made me want to vomit. It's like, it's their head, the fruit is their head, and it slams down on top of the Rider's head, and then the chest piece is the Legend Rider's chest piece.
Oh, okay.
So it's not a big fucking stupid facsimile of their face, like Rider 1 was.
That was the biggest letdown, because I only heard about what that was going to be beforehand. I didn't see any of the scans or anything.
Oh, you got that.
I just heard people talking about it. They're like, oh yeah, there's going to be like Ichigo arms. And I was like, holy shit, that's awesome. And it was not awesome.
You got a real unspoiled slap in the fucking face with Heisei vs. Showa, didn't you? I feel bad for you.
In every way possible.
Oh, man.
I actually had the ending spoiled beforehand. I'm the one who told you about it, and you couldn't hear the disdain in my voice because I was typing.
Wait, the flower?
God, that broke my heart.
The one with the flower, you mean?
Yeah.
I thought I was the one that told you about the flower.
Who cares?
I don't know. The point is, it was crap. But we're not talking about Heisei versus Showa right now. We're talking about Legend Rider bikes.
The Legend Rider bikes.
Yeah.
Which are sweet as hell, and it's like Toei is trying to hook their vacuum cleaner directly into my wallet.
Shift cars are kind of neat, and signal bikes are kind of neat, but they don't make
signal
any...
Signal bike. I knew I said it wrong earlier. I'm an idiot.
Well,
continue.
What the fuck, I read the same thing. But they don't make any sounds, is the only problem I have with them. They're just little They're just Hot Wheels at the end of the day. Like, if you don't have a driver, they're just Hot Wheels.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was going to say about the reason why I'm not going to be turning over my mortgage and firstborn child to Toei right now.
Yeah, as of yet.
It's really cool that they've gone to so much effort with these toys, considering that a lot of times they just sort of like shit out whatever they can and they don't really care about what it is.
Mm-hmm. The bikes look nice, and I would like, as much as I would like a little Ryuki bike, apparently you have to buy them in like a set of five for $50, so yeah. Fuck that. I mean, yeah, if I could get my hands on...
And also, they don't actually use Ryuki's bike. They use the ride shooter, the one that all the riders
Yeah, they
use.
Don't count the big stupid red dragon thing as Ryuki's bike. They count the small stupid ride shooter. Ryuki's bike's
for the
shit.
Thing is sweet as fuck.
No.
That bike is awesome.
No, it's a dumb-looking bike.
You're a dumb-looking bike.
You know what? I would make a very dumb-looking bike, but I am a very handsome-looking human.
Spoiler alert, that's a lie.
Jeff doesn't know.
Anyway, I think we've said all we need to say about Kamen Rider Drive episode 23, that we've been talking about none since this podcast started.
We got on it. It was a good episode. There wasn't much to complain about. Things are moving forward again. Good episode. I recommend it.
Yeah, go watch it after we've spoiled the entire episode for you.
Well, this is for anybody who's watching the podcast like a year later and is thinking, I should rewatch episode 23, maybe I should skip it. Rewatch it. It's worth your time.
Yeah, go for it. It's a good episode.
Yeah.
I actually really enjoy the Roid Mude's power to, like, shoot shit faster than people can see. It actually gives the riders a bit of a challenge that is conveniently fixed by the upgrade that Drive just got.
It makes for one of the coolest action scenes. The coolest action scenes with the worst special effects in the whole series so far. When he's running super fast, it'll show a little crowd and it'll be like, pshoo, time will freeze and he'll be like, through the whole crowd. It reminds me of Clock Up. It was so fucking sweet.
It was awesome. And you just described the entire Kamen Rider series. The best action scenes you could ever see with the worst special effects. What would you like to talk about now on our podcast?
So, Movie Wars GP came out this week. Again, slightly...
Neither of us have seen
it. Of course, we don't live in Japan or speak Japanese, so yeah, neither of us have seen it. But I read a quick synopsis of it, and I won't spoil it, because there are some neat stuff. Like most Movie Wars movies, it is pretty cool on paper. So I won't spoil it, but I will give a link to... you can go over to the Tokusatsu Network, and you can listen to a guy with a smooth British accent explain the whole movie to you over the course of 30 minutes.
He's so dreamy.
Yeah, if that's your cup of tea, I'll have a link there.
Your cup of tea? You fucking bastard.
Thinking about the British, you know.
Anyway, I don't know if Movie Wars GP sounds good on paper or not, because from what I've read about it, it sounds stupid as fuck.
I like the whole Kamen Rider 3 thing. I think we've already gone over this, that they took a little real-world concept of a Kamen Rider who got forgotten and made it into an actual story thing. I thought that was cool.
Yeah, it was cool, and what we went over about it is actually a little bit factually incorrect.
What did we fuck up on again?
At least according to Iga Devil, who's kind of like a big name in the Tokusatsu fandom, we had said that there was like a big hullabaloo about Kamen Rider 3 coming back and everything, and it was based on a story that was popular, but V3 came out afterwards. And apparently Ishinomori was not like happy with that Kamen Rider 3 story, and he adapted it directly into V3.
Oh.
So it's actually just the V3 story, but like the prototype version of it.
Yeah. I think my point still stands about it taking it still works with like the whole Forgotten Rider thing, which I think is neat, but yeah, the details.
It's neat, but like, the storyline itself, the plot, sounds dumb as fuck. We're talking about something that no one understands what we're talking about, though, so maybe we should move on to what you wanted to say about it.
So this past week, they released the Kamen Rider 4 special DVD. They're doing it in episodes for some reason. I'm not sure what the thing is with it. Do you know what's up with that? They're like, usually with specials, it's just one DVD, right? Like the Proto Zero thing.
Yeah, usually it is. I don't really know the exact reasoning behind it, but I think there might be, like, a lot of time, effort, and money being put into these new, like, Kamen Rider numbers or whatever. And so they don't really want to just blow their load a little bit early when it comes to it.
Yeah. Did you see episode one, or was that just me?
It was just you.
You weren't missing much. It was, there's a lot of time travel fuckery in the movie, and that continues over to the second, or to the Kamen Rider 4 special. It's basically Groundhog Day, but instead of Bill Murray trying to become a better person, you have Tomari trying to prevent Go from being murdered. So, in the end, you get Go dying like 13 times. It's pretty good.
Is Go not the rider with the most deaths?
He's catching up. He's tied with He Who Shall Not Be Named. For fear of spoilers. From Fies.
Okay.
You fucker, you just narrowed it down quite a bit.
I narrowed it down to like 4 characters. But anyway, tell me more about this beautiful movie.
Kamen Rider 4 is not in the first episode, save for the final shot. So it's really, it's setting up the wider story, but it's really not that. It's just, you get, I think it's 3 different cycles of Tomari trying to stop Go from dying, and Go dies the first time, and then Go dies the second time, and then Tomari dies the third time. It, like, he wakes up in the morning, and then fucking Fies and Zeronos bust into his door, and they're like, Tomari, there's some shit going down. I was also watching this without subs, so mainly I was just guessing at the dialogue.
I knew that was your dialogue immediately.
They're like,
Tomari, there's some shit going down.
Actual overtime subs. So Tomari runs out and there's a bunch of monsters and they fight and then Go dies. And then it happens again, pretty much the same way, except Go dies slightly differently. And then it happens a third time, pretty much the same way. And then Tomari jumps in front of Go and gets stabbed or something. But yeah.
This was a DVD presento, wasn't it?
I believe so, yeah. I believe it was.
Then I understand entirely what this is about.
What is it about?
This is the hook that you drop in the water to catch the fish, and then you reel that motherfucker on in. If you get a bunch of kids to watch part one, they're going to want to know what the hell happens in part two, and they will pay for that.
They'll sell part two, yeah.
And if I'm wrong about that, then I have no idea why the hell they're releasing an episode.
If Jeff's wrong about that, we'll deal with the consequences later like we usually do.
By completely ignoring them.
Okay. That's all I really wanted to say about that. If you haven't seen it, you're not really missing much. It's okay. Kamen Rider 4 looks cool. Shocker's building Kamen Rider 4 at the end of the first episode. It's pretty neat.
I've seen some GIFs, some GIFs.
Some GIFs, some GIFs.
I've seen, it looks really cool, the suit's awesome, the scene looks pretty neat, but I don't know if it's worth sitting through an entire movie for.
Yeah, I don't know.
How long is it, actually?
The episode one?
Yeah.
It was like 20 minutes, length of an average episode.
That's 20 minutes I could spend watching a good Kamen Rider series.
Is there anything else you wanted to talk about regarding Kamen Rider 3 Movie Wars GP?
I want to point out again that Who's That Guy is awesome, and if you guys have not seen the video for it, you should, because it actually has plot points related to the movie in the video. It gives you sort of a sneak peek of the journey that Kamen Rider 3 takes from his inception onwards.
Are you making shit up right now? Because it looks like it's just a guy dancing in a disco nightclub.
No, you didn't notice that, like, there's all this, like, shocker imagery, and then there's, like, a shocker throne.
Yeah.
That he, like, keeps reaching out towards and then, like, thinking about it throughout the whole video. Like, he withdraws his hand and thinks about it. And at the end of the video, he walks away from the throne.
Mmm. Deep.
It's deep as fuck, man. That Kamen Rider lore.
There was one thing, actually, I wanted to talk about Kamen Rider 3 Movie Wars GP. Well, sort of. And it was a funny little thing. After Drive started, a little bit after it started, way, way before we got any details about Movie Wars GP, there was a rumor floating around about what the Movie Wars movie was going to be about. And I think I told you about this when I heard about it. It was going to be called, or the rumor that I heard, was that it was going to be called Kamen Rider Drive versus All Riders.
Yeah, you mentioned this, actually, and I thought it was bullshit then.
It turned out to be bullshit, but how would that even work? It racked my brain thinking about how they could even fucking come close to making that a fair fight.
You know what that would be?
Hmm.
And this is the be-all, end-all answer for this. It would just be Kamen Rider Decade.
How do you mean?
Because it would be Drive going from rider to rider and kicking their ass and showing them that he's a better rider than they are. Which is the series Kamen Rider Decade.
I can't corroborate because I haven't seen Decade. But I guess...
Hey, Liam, why don't you tell us what Kamen Rider series you have seen?
Never.
Go on.
I guess Toei is too smart to just send all of them at Drive at once. But even then, I can't imagine how he would beat... I can't imagine how he'd beat Kabuto. I can't imagine how he could beat, Kuga. I can't imagine how he could beat most of the Showa riders who are strong enough to withstand nukes.
Well, I figure it would be, maybe Type Formula gives him the ability to move through Clock Up. Who knows?
He moves pretty fast with Type Formula. He could just run real fast. I could see that.
But that's not... It didn't happen.
Unfortunately.
It's not gonna happen.
One of these days, Toei, call us.
Ugh, every episode with that shit.
Next year, current rider versus every rider that came before. Please consider it.
I can't wait for Kamen Rider Gummy versus all riders.
Did you read this show? that is all I have to say about Kamen Rider 3.
Alright, I want to take a second to talk about one of my favorite Kamen Rider things that has ever been. And I think I might have spoken about it before. I'm not sure if it was when you were hosting or before that. Did I speak about Kamen Rider G by any chance?
You've mentioned G. I don't think you've really gone into detail about him on the podcast, though.
Well, Kamen Rider G is a special that was done to celebrate, a million years of the TV station that runs Kamen Rider, which I actually can't remember right now.
I don't know.
But... It's basically an entire Kamen Rider series, scrunched down into a single, 15-minute movie. A guy is turned into a cyborg, he fights an evil organization, he saves a girl, he vows to save the world after defeating a horrible monster, and all of the Heisei Riders show up at the end of it.
Every single one?
All of them up until that point, which is everybody to Decade.
Okay.
And they all show up and they say, "Good job, G!" And then the movie ends. And it has one of the most, to me, iconic shots in Kamen Rider, where after he transforms, he does his pose, and a giant explosion happens on the building front behind him and makes a huge letter G in it.
Yeah, that's the only thing I know about Kamen Rider G. I haven't seen it. The only thing I know is that WebM of him taking the fucking wine bottle and shoving it into his belt, and then he does the... And all the big
G.
Just,
he decants it.
Yeah.
His theme is decanting wine. I'm not sure why.
Yeah, I don't think they would ever use that in it. Do Japanese people care as much about alcohol consumption as American people do?
I don't know. But it was just, a special that aired later at night.
That's true.
That was for adults, and it starred some, very famous guy.
Yeah.
His name was Goro, is why it's Kamen Rider G.
Oh.
But go watch it. It's a beautiful 15 minutes, and you'll love every second of it.
Is it subbed?
Yeah.
Good.
It's subbed. I believe TV Nihon subbed it. But it's, I actually remembered halfway through talking about it that I did talk about it before. So you're not just getting deja vu if you're remembering that.
I don't remember you talking about it at all, but I don't know. I remember you mentioning it, but whatever.
Whatever.
Thank God for TV Nihon. They've subbed everything that nobody else has subbed. They're very prolific.
Yeah, that's true. That's the thing that you can absolutely say is good about them. They'll sub anything.
Yeah.
Just throw a bug eye in front of them and they'll sub it. Let's take bets.
On what?
What the next rider is going to be now that we're at about the halfway mark.
Doesn't the next rider not get revealed until the two-thirds mark? Three-quarters, usually?
I think it's May.
May?
Is when the rider is usually revealed.
Okay, so we're still a little ways off.
Yeah, we've got a while.
Yeah.
But I wanna speculate. Just wild speculation. What would you like to see for the next rider?
In the next rider, oh my god.
It could be anything at all.
I want ghosts as a theme. I want something like Deno, except instead of monsters from the future, it'd be ghosts. I'd be all about that from different points in history.
So you want Kamen Rider Shaman King?
Yeah. I shamelessly want Kamen Rider Shaman King.
That would be pretty cool, actually.
What about you?
I want Kamen Rider Journey to the West.
Oh, you've mentioned this to me, yeah.
I have mentioned this before, where each rider is based on a character from Journey to the West, and the main character being, like, Kamen Rider Wukong, or Kamen Rider Goku.
Mm-hmm.
And he has, like, the staff that can change to any size, and he's, like, a fast rider, and it would just be awesome, especially if he had, like, a wild and crazy warrior personality, like Momotaros from Deno, like that kind of personality.
Everything links back to Deno.
Deno keeps fucking showing up. There's no way to get away from him.
I guess there's a reason why he's so popular, huh?
It's a good series, I'll say that. It's, like, very heavily, like, Japanese-style goofy comedy, which can be really great in small doses. But that's mostly all it is. It has an overarching storyline, and it's not bad, but I liked it. It's not everybody's cup of tea.
I can imagine. Is that all you wanted to say about Kamen Rider Wukong?
Kamen Rider the Future?
I will say that if that came out, I would wait with bated breath for people to come out saying it was a ripoff of Dragon Ball. Every day I would scour the internet waiting for that post.
You would see that post day one it was announced in the general. They would be all over that shit. Like, this is just fucking Dragon Ball.
They wouldn't even believe it. They would just be fucking around.
They'd believe it. Fuck.
Some of them would. I'm sure there are people.
Anyway, is there anything else you'd like to talk about this episode?
Yeah! I want to talk about myself again. I started watching Kamen Rider Kabuto this week.
Great series.
Really, really good so far.
To a point.
I haven't hit that point yet, thank God. I'm on like episode 14 and I'm fucking all about this show right now. I don't know. I like it almost as much as I like Ryuki. But it's got this main character. You said last week, Gatak, best secondary. I totally agree. Mm-hmm. I love...
Absolutely.
Like, I haven't even gotten to Gatak yet, but I fucking love Kagami so much. He's such a...
Kagami's the actual main character of that series.
Yeah, he's the relatable schlub. Unlike Tendo, he's a big fucking dick.
I love that you went into this series like, oh, I fucking love Tendo, he's great, I can't wait to see his series, and now you're like, what a fucking douchebag.
Well, to be fair, for the first 5 episodes, I wanted to throttle Tendo in his sleep. But he grows on you. He grows on me, at least. I don't know. Everybody else seems to hate him. But
he grows to the point that you can deal with him.
But he's got his little moments. Like, there's the bit where they put a gun to Kagami's head. The big evil organization, Zect, wants to get Tendo's transforming belt back. So they put a gun to Kagami's head, and they're like, Tendo, this is your friend, isn't he? Give us the belt or we'll blow your friend's brains out. And Tendo's like, that guy's not my friend. I don't even like him. He sucks. But you can take the belt anyway. I didn't do it because you want me to. And it's like, okay, you fucking love him, guy. Just come out and say it. Like,
you know what? He will never say it. Oh, no. So go ahead and watch the rest of the series understanding that he's never going to call Kagami his friend.
Tendo develops, but he never develops to the point where you want him to develop is what I'm getting from you, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm looking forward to disagreeing with you, like last week. The only problem I have with it so far, the only big problem, is that this might just be on Kamen Rider Drake, but some of the tone is a little bit inconsistent, I feel like.
How like, so?
The early episodes of Kabuto is some of the heaviest shit you will ever see in a Kamen Rider series. You have a meteor landing in a big populated city, and like 1,000 people are dead in the blink of an eye, and then countless more are injured or left homeless or without a family. And then you have fucking Drake coming in and doing his ultimate makeup. And it's such a rapid tonal shift.
Welcome to Japan.
It was a bit jarring.
The series actually goes through a period where it gets even more ridiculous. Like, every character is as ridiculous as humanly possible for a little bit.
You keep...
That's called the cooking arc.
You keep telling me, oh yeah, Kabuto's really great, you should watch it, but it's fucking garbage past this certain point, you're gonna hate it. You're making me...
That's not true.
You're making me dread.
That's not true, though. it'll get to a point where you're like, what the fuck is this? But you'll keep watching it, and you'll still enjoy it.
It's got, I will say, the best action of any at least my favorite action of any Kamen Rider series I've ever seen. The best action scene I've ever seen in a series is when he uses Clock Up while it's raining, and there's the rain droplets frozen in the air, and they're running around, and you can see the droplets splashing off of their fists and stuff. Oh. Mm-hmm.
They abuse the shit out of that effect. But it's awesome.
I don't even care. I love it so much. I want more.
It's awesome. It really is. Great. And the fight scenes are really good. This tapered off as Heisei has gone along. Mm. But the fight scenes are actually, like, choreographed. There's a lot of, like, actual karate kung fu action.
Yeah, that's another thing.
We call them karate bugmen, but there's not a whole lot of martial arts in Kamen Rider anymore. But Kabuto has a lot of hand-to-hand combat.
Yeah, that's another thing I wanted to say I really liked about it was Seiji Takayua's suit work is fucking great in Kabuto. He knows how to move like Tendo. He knows how to fight like Tendo. There's a lot of good kung fu. It's a good series. If you haven't seen Kabuto, you should really watch Kabuto. I recommend it.
Well, there's a reason why a lot of people use that as the gateway show. Like, when people are like, what Kamen Rider should I watch? A lot of people used to, anyway, say Kabuto is where you should start, because it has a bug theme, which is integral to the history of Kamen Rider. It has characters that are exceptionally disparate in personality and motivation. It has a lot of different riders in it, so it gives you a taste of each type of rider, like the long range, the weapon user, the hand-to-hand. Suits are gorgeous. The in-suit combat's really good. You get a little bit of out-of-suit combat. It's a series that has a little bit of everything, and then it goes to hell, plot-wise.
The suits. Masked form and rider form. So cool. I love that. Everybody has got the two base forms, the big, heavy, bulky form, and the speedy form.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, great stuff.
One of the best suits in the entirety of Kamen Rider history is Zabee.
I love the bee. Oh, man. That suit gets passed around like a parcel, but it's awesome.
It's my favorite suit in the series, besides maybe, like, I really love the hoppers. The kick hopper and punch hopper suits are great. I don't know. I think I still like the bee.
I haven't gotten to the hopper bros yet, but I'm looking forward to them.
They are the goofiest characters in the entire series.
Yeah, that'll be good.
Okay, we've talked about Kabuto a little bit. Mm. And I want to say that I love Kabuto, and I talk a lot of shit about Kabuto. But it's a great series. So if you enjoy Kamen Rider and you haven't seen it, if you want to have a taste of actual in-suit style action, then actually give it a try. Go watch it. I endorse it.
That's enough about Kabuto for now. Is there anything else you wanted to talk about today in this podcast?
I think I'm all Kamen Rider'd out. I don't really have any other topics to talk about.
Yeah, we're a fair clip in, so I guess that'll be it for this week.
Alright, thanks for listening. We appreciate everybody who actually listens. We like the feedback that we get. You know, you can find us on Twitter, Rider Club Radio. You can email us. We got a Gmail, RiderClubRadio@gmail.com. Tell us what we did that was shit, what we did that was alright. And we post, you know, stuff that's interesting to Kamen Rider fans on that Twitter. And we check the Gmail like once in a blue moon, I guess.
I check the Gmail. Oh, and don't forget, we do have a blog, riderclubradio.wordpress.com, that's got all the releases on there, and it's got an RSS feed that you can plug into your iTunes. I've tested it myself, it works fine, so get on that if you want it on iTunes.
And thanks again for listening, and we'll catch you next time.
Yeah, see you later.
Peace.